Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights to the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights to the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, he King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. We'll be right back.
sat beside me, my only son. Listen closely to what I say. And if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. I we'll be right back.
Suzanne the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
My brain hurts. Oh, yep. The one time I was standing out there in the garage and I was looking around at this mess. This is a terrible mess. I mean, there was junk laying everywhere. So much stuff accumulated over the years, most of which wasn't even mine. It's just everybody kind of saw this spot and just started piling stuff in there. And as time went by, it got messier and messier. So I'm standing there and I'm looking at this doggone mess and I'm like, man, I gotta clean this up. And so after looking at the mess long enough, I just finally got discouraged and said, I'll do it later. Well, a little bit of time went by and I'm standing in front of the pile again and I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I gotta clean this mess up. So I maybe shuffled a few things around and I looked at it and it's just so incredibly overwhelming. And I was just like, oh, God. The heck with it. I'll just do this later. Some time went by and I repeated the process. Standing in front of that big old pile again. And I just like, my gosh, this is terrible. And it seemed like things just kept piling up in every single corner and every single room. For too long, it was just so incredibly overwhelming, and I was just like, no, I'm going to have to recruit some help or something. Ain't no way I'm going to do this. Well, tried to recruit some help. It never came to pass. Never could get no help. So one day, for some reason, I had this little bit of extra energy in me, and I just dug in. Worked and worked and worked and cleaned and shuffled and hauled out trash and got this garage looking good. Felt real good about it, right? Well, then I turned around about several months later. I'm standing in front of this huge pile of trash. Junk just laying everywhere. And I'm looking at this mess and I'm like, man, I already cleaned it up once. Here, I gotta do it again. So I basically just looked at it for a bit and finally I said, oh, the heck with it, I'll do it later. Oh, man. A couple weeks later, I stand there looking at the mess again. The time just kept on going over and this circle just kept on repeating itself over and over and it was driving me insane. What the heck am I going to do? How do I get people to stop throwing trash everywhere? So it gets to the point where you don't even put things where they need to be. It's convenient. I'll set it down right there and I'll worry about it later. And then you can't find anything. You're climbing over stuff, trying to get to everything. You know, if that sounds familiar to you, you've probably been out there in the Matrix. You've probably been looking around. You've probably been seeing a few things. It just drives you nuts. I scroll down and I read comments from other people's videos. And I'm looking out there to see what the world's talking about. And some of the things that they say are depressing, frustrating. It's a never-ending flood of information in every possible direction with every possible outcome. The world's flat, the world's round, the world's dodecahedron, we've all been lied to, we've been played and all this kind of stuff, and the matrix gets deeper and deeper, and you go down there and you try to look around and you're like, man, this place is broken. It's bad. Now listen to other people's stories. I got some good friends, one of which I just kind of briefly talked to this morning, and apparently he's been going through some troubled times that I didn't even know about for a while. And that saddens my heart because, you know, I'm by no means rich. But I think that for the most part, my lifestyle is fair. You know, it's sometimes it's aggravating, and sometimes it's a struggle. You know, it's a just average kind of life thing. You have your ups and downs and your aggravations, and you know, things happen, things break down, or you get angry because you're trying to shoot for a goal or whatever, and it's just that human condition, I guess. I want to fix this world out there. I really honestly do want to fix this world. I look at it, and I know there's a lot of things. We got solutions in every single direction under the sun. We could resolve it. But I feel like I'm standing in that garage again. And I'm looking at it, and it's like so overwhelming. It's a big pile. Every morning when I get up, I check the news to see what's going on out there in the world, and sometimes I regret it, and sometimes, you know, I just see something else interesting, creative that I want to look at, or maybe something funny. And so every once in a while I peer into different directions of the matrix and I try to figure out what it's all about. Some people think this earth is quite literally a punishment against all the people for whatever purpose. We're here to be tormented, or we're here to torment each other. Others think it's we're here to learn, we're here to try to create and all kinds of things. It's hard to keep up with the mindset of the masses out there because everybody seems to be going in so many different directions. And I often wonder, well, you know, if you could get these minds focused, if you could get them focused towards a goal, you know, it's kind of like the mice in the maze thing, you know. You got one mouse, he's sitting up here on the wall, and he's looking down into the maze, and he's like, hey, y'all, why don't you help each other out, and you can all get up here, and then you can see what I can see from out here. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of room. There's places to run, and it looks like there's some food over there. But for the most part, the mice in the maze are just too busy. They're running around trying to find that piece of cheese. Ain't really looking for a way out. Most of them don't believe there is a way out. They've been in the maze so long. Been down here in the matrix. I'm pretty good at solving puzzles, mechanical deals and things like that, so I got a few talents, I guess. And I think that in the right crew, I think I can get things done. I think I am actually getting things done. I've had a friend helping me out with some science things, and we're actually going to get a few things built, things accomplished, which makes me happy. And I hope that whatever we come up with, all these things that we do together are eventually going to do something profound for the world. I've got lots of ideas, I've got lots of projects. I'm actually working on a bottle caps for mad science bucket campaign, and I'm going to try to get some folks involved in cleaning up the world. Show them how to turn trash into treasure. Show them how to actually make some money off of what otherwise would have went in a landfill, and actually be able to turn what would have been in that landfill into something useful, something interesting, something funny. You know, amazing. It's creativity, I guess. There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of really amazing talents and skills, and I just think that if you could focus those people, if you could get them on the dream team, like I like to call it, the things that they could come up would be just spectacular. I guess, for the most part, I'm tired. I just need some sleep. My brain just doesn't stop. It's constantly troubleshooting ideas, trying to find solutions, and trying to weigh out all the available assets and what can I do with what I've got to work with, and trying to formulate a plan to fix the world. It's not like necessarily like Pinky and the Brain, the little cartoon where the mice are trying to take over the world all the time. I don't really want to take over the world. I don't want to be the king or the emperor or the president or leader for that matter. But I do want to have a part in a team that wants to get together and do what we do here on the Knights of the Round Table. Because I think it's an amazing thing. We actually get a chance to talk about what we've seen in the Matrix and what's going on down here and, you know, what we think we can do to resolve the issues. And I don't think all that's for nothing. But every once in a while, standing in the midst of this battlefield that we call life, this thing gives me a headache. Some of the things that modern day society subscribe to, it just blows my doors off. It just doesn't make no sense. It has no foothold in reality as I know it. I think about those supercomputers of the world. There's quite literally a list of the most powerful computers in the world. I had it at one point. I had to dig it back up again one day. But there's really massive computer systems that are into quantum processing and stuff. Some of the things that in this conspiracy world that they talk about what these things are capable of are quite literally mind-blowing. Maybe those quantum computers, maybe they're rewriting reality or something. I'm going to add Patty to the call here. I think she's got her cup of coffee. That would be a good thing. Well, hello there, lady.
Hello, good morning.
So anyway, like I was saying, as I look out there and I'm seeing all this thing and I'm walking around the Matrix and I'm meeting with my friends and all the wonderful folks that show up here at the Knights of the Round Table, they too have this urge to try to fix things, you know. We're standing out there, we're looking at this big old pile, and every once in a while we move a little piece here and move a little piece there and get a little frustrated, take a break, just step back and try to breathe, that's all. But it's a mess. The world didn't get this way overnight, I know that. And it's not for anyone or maybe even a small group of people to be burdened with trying to repair it all. But I just can't help but reach out there in my mind thinking if there's some way to inspire this world that would be creative enough to get them interested and keep them interested, I think we could do some really amazing things together. Now watch all these people out there, having their trials and tribulations and all the dramas. It's like a soap opera watching the news anymore. It's just crazy. This one is accusing that one of that. And they're, people that they want to go to jail. They want, it's just, you all know it. You've seen it. You lived it. You watched it. I'm trying to get to a point here, but the point is just driving me insane because it's almost like I told about standing in that garage after years and years of people just piling stuff in every direction, and you don't feel like you're getting any kind of cooperation. Well, in my little circle, I'm starting to get this little bit of a cooperation, and things are starting to play out. And that bucket campaign, I think, has really got a good ring to it. See, my intentions, I had some stickers made, and on these stickers it says Bottle Caps for Mad Science. It says help us to show people how to turn trash into a solution. That's only one little fraction of all what's wrong with the world. There's people out there in the world that have greater needs, and I hope that maybe one day all of us together we can address those needs and make sure that everybody's got everything they need, everything they're taken care of. Some folks think that, you know, you got to depopulate the world. You don't got to depopulate the world. You need to fix the world. You need to fix each other. There's people out there just going flat out crazy. And maybe they're the sane ones. I don't know. But when I see things like I see on there, I can't get some of these things out of my brain. And it's aggravating. And the whole entire big mess, the pile, so to speak, the garage, the messy garage, it just keeps getting worse. But I'm not ready to throw down and walk away and say the heck with it, like I did in the garage multiple times until finally one day I just couldn't stand it anymore and I dug in, I rolled up my sleeves and went in at it. And I finally got the doggone cleaned up, only just to see it fall back apart within a couple months. People were stacking stuff everywhere again, couldn't find nothing. But I'm going to try this one, Theo. I'm going to try. I'm putting these projects together on Mad Science. I got the alternative energy thing figured out. Now all I got to do is put it out there on for the people. And hopefully they'll take it and run with it. Now, I'm 53 years old. And in my way of thinking, you know, most folks would say, oh, well, I ain't old. Well, yeah, I've had a pretty interesting life, so yeah, I feel a little bit older than I look. But nonetheless, not ready to give up, but I got some cool projects in the works, and I think that I want to try to get some people motivated and help to inspire some younger people to be interested in science, real science. And so I'm going to build a couple nifty little prototypes and toys and maybe even do a few talks at maybe some schools or something like that and put these buckets out and see how many people actually take the time to throw in one of those little plastic bottle caps. When I was a kid, they used to have this doggone thing where the bottles used to say return for deposit. You could get 5 cents at one point, and at another point it was, I think it was like 10 cents you could get for a bottle. And we used to go around gathering them things up and actually be able to, you know, buy some candy with that. Plus, we, as a kid, were able to go, you know, down the road and we'd find those little lead weights that flew off the tires where they used to balance cars. We could take those to the bait shop and we could sell them to the guy that made fishing lures and such. So we had a plan, get up early in the morning, go down the road and find these bottles, pick them up, gather them all together and pick up the lead and work our way towards the bait shop, drop off the lead, go to the grocery store and cash in the bottles and then take another turn, go up to the feed store where they had candy and all kinds of other toys and stuff, and we'd come back with a little bag full of goodies for our day's deal. Got to the point where it was almost impossible to find bottles because all the kids got wise to it. So the place was pretty clean. People were scrapping everything. They were recycling and they were cleaning up their neighborhood, but kids always had something to do. It was like a treasure hunt. So I think if you could bring back that little bit of that mindset again, you might actually inspire some kids to realize that when you get these things that you would have normally thrown in the trash, you can do things with these. You can turn them into useful objects or even turn them into cash or something. So I'm gonna give it a shot, see where I can take it. See if I can actually fund my research with trash. You know, actually, in all reality, with all the recycled things that I've used over the years to do videos and electrical wire and old appliances that are repurposed and stuff to do my projects, I kind of been doing that this whole time. I just want to try to see if I can maybe get the world on board with it. What do you think, Patty?
I think it's a super idea. And I want to say that your video that you put up on YouTube, the neodymium magnet accelerator.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, that thing is so cool.
Wow.
There's so much more going on with that thing. We're actually going to build the round version And when you see that one, oh man, this is going to be great.
Well, I can't tell you, you know, any more than you already know that your mad science is just brilliant. Every time you put a dang video up and I watch it, I'm like, you know, how can you have this much information and be able to show this and still not have everybody jumping on it? I mean, you know,
well,
it's kind of like wake up, you know.
I
don't think the world has woken up yet.
I asked that question myself because the only hopes I have for this, and what I keep on saying to everybody when I put information on the table, all I want them to do is pick it up and run with it, you know? See how far you can take this idea. I mean, it's like this bottle caps thing that I'm trying to work on. I actually got the stickers made. I'm going to go out to the hardware store and I'm going to buy some really nice buckets and go around and talk to a few convenience stores and see if they mind if I put one in there with a little flyer to explain what it's all about. But that one little idea, if people take it and run with it and they do it in their communities, when you see what it is that I'm trying to get started with, something as simple as that, if people took it and run with it, we could start off a campaign that would spread across this globe like you wouldn't believe. And there wouldn't be no more people throwing trash away anymore, because now they would realize everything that they got, those materials, are worth something. You see what I'm saying? But just take those ideas and run with them. You know, I'm not trying to sell this device to anybody. I did say I might make some kits, and if whoever can't really build one for themselves, you know, we could get them a kit and have them put it together or whatever. Or maybe if I had to, I'd put it together and just ship it out to them. It doesn't matter how it gets in their hands, as long as they take that and they try it and they learn something, because they're going to find out things with this neodymium magnet accelerator. They're just really incredible. It's a really neat project.
Well, you know, I followed the science of magnets and of creating the. I know they say there's no such thing as perpetual energy.
Well, that's what they say, but who knows?
Yeah. Right, but it is valid. It's just that, you know, people like me, we don't have the mind that says, okay, this goes here and that goes there and that's going to make this do this because the properties of this react with the properties of, you know, that's a mad science mind. That's a Shaziz mind that does that. But you make it look, and your explanations are really, really, for the layman, a lot of times, you know. Sometimes you're talking and I'm saying, what was that? Yeah. But in your videos, you're always good at showing the, what it is, you know, and how it's working. And you explain it. You're a good teacher. So I think that your project, that you want to get started, I think it'll be brilliant. And I think that kids look for something like this. Kids like to be part of something that they can create and something interesting. Something that you take a block of wood and that block of wood becomes a soapbox racer. What do they call them? Soapbox derby racer. My kids, When they got that little block of wood and had to carve that race car out of it, you know, to them, it was awesome. It was hands on. They made that. They created that and it worked and it did something from a block of wood. That transference, you know, when children are shown that they can create, when children are shown that they can make something from a rather nothing, you know, something that was going to get thrown away or whatever. Can you imagine what will happen when these kids start going through their trash? Well, if I could make that, well, let me see what I can make out of this, you know?
Yeah.
This is the way it used to work when we were kids. I mean, a trash pile was our treasure pile, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody was throwing old tools and parts and stuff out to get rid of it, and we were over there, can I have this, can I have this, you know?
My grandfather used to say one man's junk is another man's treasure. I love that. This is true.
Yeah. We made skateboards with 2x4s and old roller skate rollers, you know, and things like that.
And back to them days, you know, I'm sure you agree, when we were younger, we didn't have access to, you know, a lot of funds or mama's credit card or anything like that. So we created our own adventures.
Heck,
if it was a stick and a piece of string, we made something with it.
Shoot, I can remember in Louisiana when the rains came and the ditches filled up, we went looking for 2x4s and sticks, and we put a hammer and nail in the middle of this 2x4, about a 5-inch piece of 2x4, stick a stick in there, put a sail on it, and that was our boat.
Yeah.
And we were in the ditches, you know.
Yeah, we made a whole bunch of homemade rafts. We used to make milk cartons and turn milk cartons into rafts, and some of them succeeded and some of them failed.
Yep.
But it was the adventure of the whole thing. That's the thing.
We used to take mimosa seeds from the tree, the mimosa tree.
Yeah.
And we used to boil them, and then we used to string them together. Do you remember that? We made all kind of necklaces and bracelets. We even made the door hangings and things. And the pull tops from the cans, aluminum cans.
Well,
you know?
I remember there used to be this one, I guess they called it a buckeye or something like that. It was a big old seed. But the only thing it could do is you rub it on the deal and you can run around burn your brother with it or whatever. It wasn't like to set him on fire or anything, but it got hot.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't too many mimosa trees there in Missouri, though, was there?
No. There was the hedge ball trees and those things.
Yeah, you can't string them, though.
No, but those things started a few wars amongst us. anyway, I just want to take my little piece of the puzzle and try to benefit the world and just try to inspire other people to do the same thing, because everyone out there's got a talent, man. Everybody's got a gift. And if we just get enough people and enough communities to recognize that and start inspiring each other, I think we could turn this whole world around. You know, right now, there's so much going on out there. It's just, if the adults, you know, of our generation are feeling like we're doing, imagine how the youth are feeling. Imagine how frustrated it is, or confusing even. They don't even want to tell a boy it's a boy or a girl. They want to call it a baby instead of a baby. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's insane, isn't it?
It doesn't make any sense. But, you know,
it doesn't. I can't, for the life of me, figure out why adults would even consider doing this to children. You know, it's beyond me, Shaziz. It really is to the harm that they're willing to put children through.
Yeah. You know, it's terrible. I wish there was a way that we could put common sense in a bottle and pass it around. Hey, drink some of this. This'll straighten you up, you know? It's like, you ever seen that movie, Idiocracy?
No, but I've heard about it.
Well, it's really kind of a crude and disturbing kind of movie, but the key of the whole thing is that in the future, it seemed like there was only one smart person on the entire planet. And He was just baffled by how ridiculous everything had become, and they were actually trying to water their crops with Gatorade that, you know, they didn't even have like regular running water. All the fountains, they put out Gatorade and stuff, and they were wondering why their crops were dying and everything. But it just almost seems to me like the world is playing out like that movie. It's just, how ridiculous can you be, or who can take it to the most ridiculous levels? Even if you listen to the senators and the congressmen these days, they don't sound intelligent. They honestly don't. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful to people, but if you listen to them talk, especially when it comes down to things of science, somebody like myself who, you know, I've dedicated my life to studying science and real science, not this crazy stuff. But listening to some of the things that come out of these supposedly educated people's mouths, it's just mind-blowing. And I, you know, I can't get out there and stand up there and talk to them and, you know, say, hey, you know, that's not right. This isn't what it, you know, the real science is or anything like that, and sit there and have a conversation, because these folks are like, they're protected realm, you know. You couldn't even get within 5 feet of these people to even have a conversation with them. Plus, if you try to call them up on the phone, you might get them on the phone, but they will shuffle you out of the way so quick that, you know, you might as well not even talk to them begin with. You know, if you've got something to offer them, you can keep them on the line. And I've seen this with a few other really well-known people in this world that I've actually had time to get them on the phone and talk to them for a minute. But when you try to share a new idea with them that doesn't conform, or they just don't understand, they can't for some reason cope with it, and the conversation's pretty much over. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Well, I got to tell you that I have to agree with you about the adults are not making any sense nowadays. I am appalled, to say the least. I mean, that's putting it mildly, at what I am seeing and hearing from adults. I mean, this is a travesty of humanity as a whole. I mean, to be listening to what our scholars supposedly are saying, our leaders of our governments are supposed to be saying, our community leaders. I mean, the things that they are putting out there, the bunk science that is being peddled. And not only that, I mean, if you come around and you say, wait a minute, I don't think that's right, you are immediately set upon, you are outcast, you are heretic.
Yep.
For calling them out for their idiocies. This, never before. I mean, maybe in the Dark Ages, you know, when heretics who said, oh, well, the earth might be, circling the sun. Oh, no, you know, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But we should have come a long way from there. We can put a guy on the moon, supposedly. Let's not get into that again.
But
we can't decide that biology is a science, and that there is a difference between the sexes. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's insane. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip, Shaziz. I mean, everything is wonky. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. And it's like the, like you were talking about with the MAGA hat thing. You got people calling for people to be murdered who are wearing MAGA hats because they're racist but the people calling them out are saying they want to kill them.
Yeah.
That they have no right to live. And the news media is saying these MAGA hats are racist. Wait a minute. Back it up. Back it up. Didn't the guy just say he wanted to kill the guy?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? No. That's perfectly acceptable.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like it blows my doors off because it seems like there's an intentional dumbing down of the population because you just explained it perfectly. I mean, there's somebody that just said they want to kill the person with the red hat. I mean, what kind of mentality just looks right over the top of that and said, oh, look, this hat's racist. What? You didn't hear what that one said? They want to kill me for wearing a red hat? You know, there are two gangs out there. I'm not even going to mention their name, but most of you know, you've seen and heard, there's two gangs out there. One of them is the red team and one of them is the blue team. And if you get caught in the wrong neighborhood with the wrong color scarf, bandana or whatever, you're going to get shot.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Shaziz.
Yeah.
Very well put.
So, I'm just... My gosh, folks. That's why I say my brain hurts, because I think I'm doing a good thing. I think that whenever I show people these ideas and hoping against everything that these folks pick this up and run with it and, you know, inspire other people to pick up some materials and start making some things and creating. And, you know, as frustrating as it is, it just, you know, maybe it's just I need to get to be more patient and, you know, not expect things to move along a lot quicker, but, you know.
We don't have time for patience. Our children, if what we're seeing sounds crazy to us adults, what do you think it sounds like to our children?
Yeah. So I'm, I keep saying, I'm 53, I'm getting ready to turn 54. I'm not always going to be here, folks. I mean, I'm just getting old. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I got another 20, 30, 40 years. I have no idea, because no man knows the day, you know, or the hour, or whatever. It's just...
Now, wait, Shaziz. Science.
Well, yeah, but
science
I don't want to be...
Science is saying that they have now figured out two separate ways in which they can give you your fountain of youth.
Well, I don't know if I want to stick around and be half robot. I don't want to be half robot and I don't want my brain sucked into the Matrix, because I think the Matrix in itself would be a worse prison than wherever I go after this. Because it's not that, you know, it's not been an exciting journey or anything like that. It's been a roller coaster of emotions. Heck, you folks hear me get on here. Some days I'm happier and I'll get out, and some days I'm just crying with sorrow because I think the world is just so messed up and I just can't deal with it. And so, you know, but I keep on doing this thing because I actually believe in a dream. I still believe we can fix this thing. And until it's over, I want to keep on trying, because there's something that's so much more important than me spending some time on the computer talking to people around the world that is so much more valuable, and that's my grandchildren and their children, their future, the history of what we do today, what we're going to leave them tomorrow, that kind of thing. I mean, I really care about that, and I know you do, Patty, and I know Barbara, and everyone who gets on these shows and even listens in really care and are concerned for the future of this the world, you know, the world that we leave our children. We need to leave them a good world. We need to help humanity.
Well, you know what gives me hope, though, Shaziz, is that there was a time in our historical past to where the lunatics were in charge full force, to where they were ostracizing, they were banishing, they were killing people who were questioning, who said, wait a minute, things look different from my point of view. there was a time when you couldn't have another point of view, where it wasn't allowed by the church, by the state. And we got past that. We broke through that barrier, and the insanity, it subsided. And we were able to experience science. And we were able to create, and we were able to envision, you know. So I think that time is going to come again, but it took people like you, like me, like the people that listen to the show. It took those people to stand up and not be silent. It took those people to continue to say and speak their truth, to continue to create these new systems. And sooner or later, the logic made its way through. And I'm hoping that that's where we can find our way through again. We see that the illogic that we're living through and the insanity that we're dealing with right now, we see where it's taking us. It's taking us to this point of collapse, to where the illogic cannot hold itself up. It cannot be propped up anymore, because there's no real science behind it. There is no real facts or truths behind it. And nothing that is false can stand on its own. It has to be propped up. And so the more people that are like Shaziz, the more people that are like Barb and myself and all the others who come here and listen, who do their shows, who put their blogs out, who do their videos, who go in their garages and create these new systems that we're told are impossible, that can't be done. All of these things that we do make a difference, and they do make an impact. And it is my hope that we, when the illusion collapses upon itself, because there's no structure under it holding it up, when people see that the emperor really does have no clothes on, then I'm hoping that's when our world opens up again. And when that happens, we need our children to be able to step up with knowledge and truth behind them, you know, so that they can then step out into the light and say, okay, we're going to rebuild. And I think that can happen. I can't not think it will happen. I don't have an option in that, because we are in a point of time right now. It's a proving ground. And in this time of proving, we have the option of either falling in line with the party line, you know, and forgetting everything that we know and adopting the lunacy, or to stand stronger and to push harder and to create more. And we're doing that. We're not backing down. We're not becoming silent. We're not hiding in the shadows. We're not willing to do that. And as long as we're not willing to do that, then our children have a chance, you know. Yeah. So,
well, I look around at what we've accomplished here, and, you know, there were times I was like, you know, what's the point? It was all like just didn't seem like it was making any difference. But, folks, if you're listening in, go out there and Google up Shaziz.com and Shaziz Radio and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, and just take a peek around. Here on the Knights of the Round Table, if you go up to the on the Shaziz Radio website, if you go up there and you click on the Knights podcast, there are so many podcasts up there that the website, I guess it must have ran out of space. It won't allow me to put podcast up there anymore. So I actually have podcasts that I'm starting to stack on to Shaziz.net. But if you think about what I just said, there's several hundred podcasts of ideas and stories that go way back. And you can go back and you can listen to the oldest podcast all the way up to the newest podcast. And we were talking about all kinds of things, ways to fix the world, things that were frustrating, why we couldn't get things done, and everything under the sun. So the round table has actually been doing its job for a long time. It's what it was designed to do. It was to bring people together, all the brilliant minds. I mean, we got links down here for People for People Radio Network, and it's just every network that's ever been affiliated with us, we've tried to promote them and try to get people over there to join in their chats, and it's all these people coming together and just the brilliance that comes out of it. The links that people like Stephen Gibbons post in the chat room, and Buzz, he puts all kinds of poems that he writes up in there, you know, for to share with people, and it's just an amazing family. And I do call us a family, because if you think about what's been going on throughout all the years and all the different networks, even some that have came and gone, all the trials and tribulations, Shaziz Radio stood strong through that entire storm, and I didn't allow this place to sink, because the Knights of the Round Table had to go on. It had to, the show had to keep on going on, because if you could get this mindset into the youth of the future, if for some reason 100 years down the line or some kids stumble onto this right here, I want them to hear what we were talking about. We were talking about paving some good stones for them and leaving something wonderful for them. And if we succeed in that, they won't curse us. They won't say, well, if only they would have done something, our planet wouldn't be so toxic, we gotta wear a gas mask to school or whatever. You know? I know that sounds crazy, but look what we're doing. You know, look what we're allowing our governments to do. They go out there and they throw bombs all over the place and, you know, kick up materials that shouldn't be in the air that, you know, people are having to breathe, and the things that companies do when they have accidents and spill, you know, tons of oil up in the ocean and, you know, put chemicals in there to try to correct it, you know, and all that. From what I understand, they're still to this very day covering up that doggone oil spill out there. And nobody's even talking about whether or not the disaster that happened because of the tsunami over in Japan and the nuclear power plant that had some problems. You know,
it's still having problems.
Yeah, scientifically, I know there's a resolution. We could fix it. Everything. There's not one problem that ain't out there in this world that we cannot fix, with the exception of one that I'm just kind of trying to get a grip on. How to get the people to unite enough to start doing things for themselves and for each other. That is the biggest thing. Because there is no other power more powerful than the people united. You know that little deal I play all the time about the bugs, like the grasshopper telling the other grasshoppers that those ants outnumber them 100 to 1, and whenever they realize that, then their way of life is over. So why are we, the masses, always constantly hollering about what the government is doing to us? We outnumber them thousands, if not millions, to one. It's a small percentage of people who actually run this world, who actually are the movers and shakers, who have the money and the power to get things done. And very rarely do you ever find that one person that has the good heart and the finances to back somebody like myself to build things. But recently I've had somebody like that. There's somebody in this world like that, that who believes enough in the cause of fixing this world, that has made it possible for me to bring things to you like that magnet accelerator. You know, and to do it on my own with whatever junk I could scrape up was nearly an impossible task, and would have took me years to finally catch up financially to be able to try to make this thing happen. But once that opportunity was put out there and the gate was open and I could take and run with my brain and I could make things happen, I could show you a physical thing right there. And if you put that down on the table and you start testing with it, you start messing around with it, you're going to find out on your own things that this thing can do that it'll speak for itself. And I've been trying to do this for so long. And because there was somebody else out there who also believed in the same dream, now you have a video that if you realize what I just put down on the table in front of you, and you try it out, you might very well just be really happy, if not extremely surprised. So, that's
well, you know, Gaz just put in the chat, the solution is simple. The implementation of the solution is the difficult part.
Yep.
And he's right. You know, we've been schooled. We've been for a long time. Remember when you used to go and you bought a car and you drove that car home and you had it for 5-6 years and the water pump went out. So you went down to the parts store and you got your water pump and you put that motor, you know, you took the water pump out, the old bad water pump, and you put the new water pump in. You fixed that. You knew how that motor worked. You
yep.
knew every part of that motor. And so you had control over that, and it gave you the idea that you could. And it was like with everything. Your refrigerator broke down. You could fix it. Your whatever broke down. And you were able to fix it because you had the ability to see the workings of this piece, and you could puzzle it out. You could figure it out. You did your own. When you wanted to put shingles on your roof, you didn't call somebody to come do it. You got up there and you put the shingles on, and your neighbors, they came in to help too. Whatever you needed to do, you could do it yourself. We were self-sufficient.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, we have this industrial system that starts creating these motors and these technologies that were so jammed up with this and that and things to where you can't work on your own car anymore. You have no clue what the frick is going on with this car. You have to take it to the shop so they can put it on a machine so the machine can tell them what's wrong and so that they can fix it then. And everything else is made that way today. We're being taught to be inferior. We're being taught to feel that we are inferior. Therefore, we have to subjugate ourselves to the system in order to have a car, in order to have a refrigerator, in order to get our roof done. This is purposeful.
I call
it. Because when we knew we could do it, we did it.
Yep.
We weren't reliant on anyone else. But we don't have that anymore. We've been taught that we can't do it. So we think, well, shoot, it's out of my hands. It's out of my control. I can't do this.
I call it the calculator syndrome.
Well, I've told people, you know, they got a brand new car and they said, I've had to take this thing in 3 times. It's cost me $600 every time I take it in.
Yep.
And I tell them, well, why don't you go get an old car with an old motor that you can fix yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, can't do that. Can't do that.
I call it the calculator syndrome. The invention of the calculator might have been a useful device for folks, but the problem is the calculator destroys the mathematician in you. You know, you get reliant to that calculator. It's like these kids these days at the, if you're, next time you go to the grocery store or the convenient store or even the fast food place, take a look at their cash register. You're going to see something that's pretty amazing on there. There's pictures and not numbers anymore. You got a picture of a Big Mac, so all they got to do is push it on there. And push it for twice for how many Big Macs if you want to buy. And the calculator does the work for you. But if you give the man or woman change, and for some reason something went awry, you like, I think you gave me back too much money, or you didn't give me enough money back, or whatever, their brain just stops. And the look on their face is fear. They don't know what to do because they can't calculate this in their head. They have to call the manager. And so the manager comes over and figures it out and gives you the right amount of money and then goes back to business again. But the calculator...
Well, I remember telling people, asking them, could you count back my change for me? And they would fumble. And I would be teaching the cashier, this is how you count back change, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought at that time, when this was happening, that we were really in trouble. That if we couldn't even do something as simple as exchange product for currency and count back change, that something was definitely wrong.
There are full-grown men who do not know how to change a car tire, Patty.
No.
That's insane.
It is insane. It is insane. And so we live our lives at the behest. You know, you call the plumber, and the plumber says, well, I can't make it out for 2 weeks. You know, I'm full up. You're just out of luck. When... all you had to do is go out, buy a freaking snake, and do it yourself. But no, you're going to wait 3 weeks because you don't feel like you know what you're doing anymore.
Yep.
You know? And this is, I'm speaking of something that actually happened to my son. In their home, their sewer backed up, and they called the plumber. And the plumber, he came out, and he looked, and he says, yeah, I can't fix it because I don't have what I need. Well, why did he come out to the house in the first place without what he needed? But he told him, he says, it's going to take me about 8 to 10 days to be back because I'm full up. What?
That's crazy.
My son went and he got a snake. You know, what I'm talking about is these things that when you have a plug with your septic system, you can use a snake. It's a coil of metal, and it has a thing on the end of it, and you put it in there, and it kind of
cleans
out, you know, pushes the clog.
Yeah.
Well, the guy calls him up and says, "Hey, I got a cancellation. I can be out. You know, I don't know how many days it was, but my son told him it's okay. I got it. I went and bought a snake."
Yeah.
And the guy just says, "Okay, call me if you need me." You know, it's like. Okay, so the plumber comes out and tells my son that he can't fix his clog because he doesn't have the tools he needs. The tool was a snake, which Man. You can pick up at any store, you know, like Lowe's or Home Depot or anything like that. And he's going to leave my son with sewage in his backyard because he didn't bring a snake, and he's a plumber.
Well, in the good old days, the plumbers had everything and then some in the back of their truck, and they were ready, they were prepared. But like I said, there's full-grown men today that don't even know how to change a car tire, never changed a tire in their life. They're so accustomed to being able to have somebody else do it for them or whatever. If you're broken down on the side of the road and you're out of cell phone range and you don't know how to change a tire, you're sitting there and you got a tire there and you just don't know what to do, you're stuck. And it's just me, it's mind-blowing. Because even with today's modern day cars, you know, it's amazing the engineering that they went into these. But these cars are ridiculously engineered. They almost build these things in layers, and they got this octopus of wires and hoses to move a vacuum from one side all the way over. And because of the way that they actually built the engine, with differences of like they got steel and they got aluminum blocks and aluminum heads, and so they actually have to put extra ground wires onto this motor so that they can ground the engine on the other side to the frame. And so there's all kinds of different ground wires going in all different directions, and it's almost like I don't understand the logic of why they built the engines the way they do these days. You know?
Well, they have a friend of my son's calls up and asks him, says, "Look, my timing belt went out on my vehicle. Can you help me replace it?" And John says, "Yeah." And the guy calls back and he says, "Well, is it going to be more difficult than changing the chain, the timing chain?" And my son Thomas said, "It's the same thing."
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And the guy said, no, it's plastic. It's a belt. It's not a chain. And my son had to explain to him that it was the same thing, only made differently. Now, this is insane to me.
Yeah, they went from the old style timing chains to actual rubber belt, you know, and these things are only supposed to be every 30,000 to 60,000 miles. You're supposed to actually change those, but very few people ever even go about it until it actually goes out. But the problem that a lot of people don't realize is there's two different types of engines out there. One of them's classified as an interference motor, and one of them's classified as a non-interference motor. And what that means is that if that timing belt goes out, the non-interference motor means the timing belt can snap and jam up, and it won't shred off the whole top part of the engine and destroy it, where the interference motor, if you don't change that timing belt before it breaks, and it binds up, it literally shears off the top end of the motor up there where all the valve push rods and everything's at. It just destroys it.
Well, yeah. Especially on the new ones with the injection.
Yeah.
Once those timing belts go out and you're moving down the road, you stand a chance of bending your valves and everything.
Yep.
The valves, yeah.
It'll take a several thousand dollar motor and just turn it into scrap real quick.
Yep.
And then when you go to the mechanic and you say, can you fix this? He says, I might be able to salvage it if the cylinders aren't all scarred up or the pistons ain't broke or whatever. But the problem is, with them interference motors, if the doggone thing shears itself off, you're likely to have a busted piston and, you know, all kinds of things going wrong with that thing. So, you know, it's just not... When you're out there buying a car, you really need to understand the difference between those two types of engines so that you don't get caught. It's a non-interference motor. You just need to make sure, because otherwise, you know, if that belt, if you don't replace it in a timely manner and it does shear for some reason, it's not good. And it's expensive. They'll just tell you might as well just buy you a new car. It's like nowadays, whenever you're driving down the road and somebody backs into your car and puts a dent in it, the insurance companies total it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's a fact.
They do. And a car that you may still be paying on, for that matter, they'll go by the blue book value, and that's all they want to give you for it. They don't want to fix your car. If it costs more than the blue book value, they'll call it totaled. And then they'll offer you, to buy it back for a portion of whatever it is they paid you for the damage.
Well, that happened to me. I had a little Chevy Sonoma pickup truck. Just is used, you know. My dad, he has a had, he's passed, but he had a Bonnie and Fender shop, and a friend of his had this car, so he called me and said, hey, if you want this truck, you know. So I went up and I got it, and nice little truck, liked it, little 5-speed, really cool, and went over to my friend's house, and it was parked, and her brother ran into it, ran into the side of the bed of the pickup truck, the bed of the pickup truck, and dented it right where the gas nozzle was. So it was dented in, you know, moved that bed just slightly, but wasn't bad. And so he claimed his insurance on it, and the insurance came out to my house and lifted my truck, and the guy says, comes back with a determination that it's totaled, and I'm like, what? You know? And I told him, I said, this truck is not totaled. I can drive it, but it was totaled because of the Blue Book price.
Yep.
And I said, I want my truck. I don't want to go out and buy another car or whatever. So the insurance company, I bought it back from them. They totaled it for like $2,600, and I bought it back for $400. And yep. I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah. And, you know, if you got a little bit of skills, you can try to straighten it out yourself. And
well, yeah, we had to straighten out where the nozzle was, but it wasn't, you know, of course it didn't look perfect. Of course it still had a dent, but I could get gas in there and put the cap on it, so everything was okay. But it's just the insanity of it, you know. And when you go to get insurance and they find out, well, it's been totaled. Yeah. Oh. You know?
You go to resell it and they got Carfax.com, knows every wreck that's happened out there on every car. They got a logbook of it. So you try to sell a car that's been wrecked and everybody goes crazy. Oh, man. You know, this world, it just drives me insane, though. You know, I'm just trying to figure out how that the world's got in the shape that it's got, first off. You know, with some of the things that the mainstream media promotes, and some of the it's a small minority of people making a mess out of everything for the whole majority of people. And when you look at you know, how the families are these days, it's just mind blowing, because it's just not like it used to be whenever you were growing up and I was growing up. It just, the lack of respect for one another. You know, you can tell you're getting old whenever you start to say that, because I remember when I was a kid, they said, oh, those kids ain't got no respect to listen to that loud rock and roll and
crazy. But it's different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kids today truly have no respect. They will sit there, and I can't tell you how many times that they will block your way. Walking in the middle of the street and you're coming up behind them in a car, and they turn around and look at you, and if you tell them something like, could you move, they'll shoot you the bird.
Yeah.
They tell you to shut up. They, I mean, I have never, ever, in my day, you know, I would have been taken to task.
Oh,
the neighbor,
yeah,
would have come out of the house and grabbed my butt up.
Yep.
You know, and my mom would have cheered him on.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
That's the whole thing. We used to hold each other accountable back in the day, and we were held accountable. But not today. It's just like everything is a free-for-all, you know. You know, I know the book, I keep quoting the book that everybody despises, but it did say in that book that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I'll tell you what, man, if you look back at some of the stories in that book, and you look at modern day society, the Sodom and Gomorrah kind of visual, it's like, and the movie Idiocracy, even things that Paul Harvey said in 1965, I'll tell you, if those aren't prophetic, whoever wrote that book was pretty doggone intelligent, or they had a visual look into the future and seeing how things were going to be. Maybe even as far as the case that they saw it in the past, and
it was a cycle that the trends were all repeating themselves or whatever. However we got here, it doesn't matter. It's where we decide to go from here that's going to make the difference. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I mean, it's easy to look out today and see all the wrong. I mean, it's in your face. You can't get away from it. You turn on your TV, it's there. You walk out. Well, now, again, it depends on where you live. True. If you live in California, I can't see why people would want to live there, at least people like us, because the people in California, for some reason, have a bigger case of insanity. You know, they're like the people in Washington. It's a dis-ease, a mental disorder, that is going on, that is taking hold. It's like an epidemic. But here, where I'm at, in Kansas, life is as it used to be. You can't break down around here and be on the side of the road for more than 5 minutes before somebody's stopping.
Yeah.
And they're gonna help you. And, you can't walk into a store and say, good morning, how are you doing, without someone saying, doing good, how about you, and at least being cordial. The kids are definitely, getting out of control.
Oh yeah.
I see that, but that's the school system and the state stepping in, into your homes and telling you what is acceptable for you to teach your kids and what's not. And people are listening. So they're afraid of the state and they're afraid of the system because the system will come down on all fours, you know, on you. But, to those people who stand up and say, no, we're not going to deal. We're not going to play this game. These are my children, here at least. If you stand up and you face them off, they will back down.
Yep. When you were talking about, being broke down on the side of the road and people stopping, it reminded me, I bought my first tractor about a year or so back, and I just had bought the doggone thing. And it's driving it off the property there. Actually, my wife was driving it. I was following her in the truck. But either way, get around the doggone corner, and the tire went flat. So it turned out we had a bad rim on the doggone thing. And so now I'm trying to figure out how in the heck I'm going to get this thing home. And, wasn't very long before it was all said and done, there were 10 farmers surrounding this vehicle, this tractor. And I asked that one farmer, I said, well, I'm sitting on this tractor, right? I said, well, now that I got a tractor, does that make me a farmer? He looked at me and he said, well, now that you got a flat tire on that tractor, that makes you even more of a farmer. But they all helped me out. One of them brought a tire off of one of their old implement tires that had one in the back of the truck, and they bolted it up to my tractor and helped me get it home, and then we give them back their tire and we got it all sorted out. But I understand what you're saying about that type of community. I think we still got that here in Missouri, you know, so being a neighbor of Kansas, you know, I think we still got a little bit of the old days still left. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I love about the farmers and the down-to-earth people, you know, and the landowners that are farmers, not the corporate side, but the family farms, they have a sense of humor about everything. And, when I was living in Howard, Kansas, there would be people from Arkansas, people from Nebraska, people from Colorado, everywhere, that would come out there to go hunting. And they would go hunting pheasants or whatever deer on these farmers' lands. And the farmers post these lands and say, no, you know, no hunting. But they would come and every year like clockwork, they'd show up because they'd been doing it for years, and ain't no farmer going to tell me I can't go hunting on their land, you know? So the farmer right around the corner from me, there was this guy, they had four people in the SUV would come up every morning before daybreak, and they'd park down from his house, on the dirt road, and they'd jump the fence and go into his field. Well, he left a note for him a couple of days, and they didn't show. Well, he could have called the police, you know, he could have called the cops, and the cops might have come out there and walked that land and found them people. But the chances of that happening were very slim. So he had a better idea. Him and his farmer, next door neighbor farmer friend, got in their tractors, and they took that frickin' SUV and set it on top of the two giant round bales of hay. And it sat there for like a week. And those hunters finally came back and knocked on that farmer's door. And the farmer said, hold on. He went to his kitchen, got on his phone, called the police, and told them, I got the guys out here now. You can come and get them. And that's how they worked it, you know, and he took it into his own hands because that was his property and he knew his rights.
Yep.
And the cops stood by him, but that's here in Kansas and there in Missouri, you know, they had a legislator who came out and jumped on somebody's land. He got shot at.
Dang.
And he called and he told the guy, you know, I'll have you put in jail. He called the sheriff and the sheriff said, dude, get off his land.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of badge you got. You know, that's his property. Get off of it. You know, that's the way it is here in Kansas. And the people here are not afraid of authority. Well. They will work with you. But if you're trying to screw them, they're not going to work with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're missing. I think that's what we're missing is people have given up their right to object because they think they have no right to object.
And I also believe that they're teaching the youth to, you know, basically be subservient and, you know, dumbed down, quite literally. I mean, when I talk about inspiring kids for science and stuff like that, I hope it's not too late because they don't teach real science in school anymore. I've seen some.
They don't teach real in school anymore.
Yeah, it's just basically special interest kind of information that they want you to learn or whatever. It's like there might come a generation where they won't even know they even had any rights to begin with. You can't speak out against authority, you know. These movements of socialism and Marxism and stuff that they're trying to. Groups are getting together, and they think they're fighting the man, you know. They think they're fighting against capitalism. But if they ever get what it is that they really want, I don't think they're going to be satisfied because I don't think they really understand all the drawbacks of what can actually occur in those types of governments. Communism sounds good in theory. I mean, it's about everybody, you know, being taken care of or whatever. But if you actually put it to the test, it's usually the people at the top doing real well, while the people at the bottom are basically just the servants, the slaves, the peasants, or whatever. You see what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. I think Gary wants to join us. He's in the Knights of the Round Table room.
Well, you can throw him in there if you want.
Well, I don't have him on my Skype.
Okay, let me see if I can get this here.
Okay.
Where are you at, Barry? I know you're down there. You are.
No, not Barry. Gary. Yeah. Barry's joining us in a little bit. But Gary's in the... Oh, Barry's there, too. Okay.
So, who am I at?
Gregory and Barry.
Okay.
They're in the... Yeah. Hold on, folks.
Okay, there's Gregory.
You bring... Okay, you got him.
Let's see. There's Barry.
All right. Barry's banging his head on the wall.
So, anyway, it's just like I say, my brain hurts. I'm not giving up hope on being able to try to, you know, move the world in a better direction. I think every little bit helps. You know, put these little pieces of the puzzle on the table for everybody, and hopefully they'll take them and run with them. You know, I thought I added Barry, but I don't see.
Well, he says he wants a little bit more time. He's only on his second cup of coffee.
Oh, okay, 5 minutes.
We'll give him a few more minutes.
All right, cool.
But Gregory's with us.
Cool. So anyway, I'm just basically trying to troubleshoot the world, and I guess maybe when I get off this radio show today, I think today I just might take me a nap and rest my brain for a bit.
Yeah, I saw your thing, my brain hurts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think I broke my brain.
Yeah.
I thought too much.
Well, my brain don't stop whenever I go to sleep, and I didn't really get much sleep last night, so I was pretty tired when I get out here and I start looking around to see what, you know, kind of thing I want to throw up there on the table to talk about today, and I was like, wow, man, there's just so much. It reminds me of that garage incident when I'm standing out there in the garage and it's all messy and it's just like, I'll do this later. I just can't deal with it right now. And it just got put off and put off, and I feel like there's a portion of this world that things have gotten so far that people are just so overwhelmed that they don't think it's even possible to make it better, you know? It's just...
I agree.
It's crazy. So how are you doing there, Gregory?
Groovy, thank you. And you?
Well, I guess I'm all right. I'm just trying to, you know, get my brain to stop smoking and, cool down a little bit. You know, it's kind of like an old race car. You can only drive it so far, and then you got to put some oil in it or something.
Well, I've got a quick little poem for you for when you go to sleep.
Cool.
It's called Clarity. May you sleep serenely. May you dream divinely. May your slumber set you free from strain. May your rest revive you. May you wake unweary. May you feel better with a clear thinking brain.
Cool. I like it.
I love your poetry.
Thank you.
You know, that's why I say every single person out there has a gift, a talent. And if we could just get these people to realize that and bring them to the table, there's so many things that we could resolve so rapidly. We got every single piece of the puzzle necessary. The only thing is like that picture that I keep talking about that's on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. It's like got a whole bunch of people standing around a puzzle that's on the floor, and you know, there's one missing piece of that in that puzzle, and it's standing right outside there, and it says, you are the missing piece. And that's what, you know, I'm trying to inspire people to just get out there and create, do things, live life and love, that kind of thing. Doesn't that make any sense to you guys?
You are, but unfortunately, there's so many people out there that are so frustrated, and they're throwing that anger at each other and the general population instead of the cause. I mean, there's so many people out there that are brainwashed, fluoridated, re-educated, you know. I mean, our school system is ridiculous. It, like you were saying before, they don't teach you knowledge anymore. I mean, knowledge is useful when you're older as an adult.
Yeah.
Whereas now they teach you to be a robot, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
That's it. And like I said about the doggone, you know, fast food places, if you go look at really close at their cash registers, I mean, you'll see something that's really kind of shocking. It's like there's pictures on there. You know, you look at the picture on the deal, you push that button, and it's dummy proof. Is what they made these cash registers dummy proof, so that this thing does all the thinking for you. All you got to do is, oh, he wants a hamburger. There you go. But if you throw anything in there crazy like, you know, I don't want mustard or ketchup or cheese on there, you might cause a ruckus inside there. Well, this one doesn't. This one's a custom order, so we need to get the smart guy over here fix this for us. You see what I'm saying there? It's like that calculator syndrome that I'm talking about. The calculator destroyed a lot of math because people just don't know how to do it anymore. You know, it just they don't know how to think. I fear that that movie Idiocracy might actually come to pass one day because nobody will know how to fix it. The computer used to tell us everything that we need to do. It'd tell us when to brush our teeth, and when to comb our hair, when to get up and go to work or whatever. And now the computer's broken. How do we fix it? What do we do with our lives now? You see what I mean? It's like
that is a great movie, though, isn't it? I mean, one of the biggest issues in the whole movie is Gatorade. It's got everything the plants need. It's even got electrolytes.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the only thing that the plants really needed was water.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to give plants water, or that they could even.
Yeah. They're like, water's terrible. That tastes terrible. You know, Gatorade's good, right? Well,
you mean toilet water?
Yeah. That's it. But that's, you know, that movie shows, you know, something, you know, disturbing about the possibility of, you know, when they talk about artificial intelligence. What happens when the artificial intelligence gets smarter than the people and starts to say, well, the people are the problem, and they just decide they're going to up and delete people. You know, I saw a movie the other day just exactly about that, you know, and the artificial intelligence quite literally nuked the planet, you know, and got rid of all the people. There was only one person left, and then the machine cut the oxygen off of that person and put them into a digital realm. And so there weren't no more real people anymore. There weren't no humans. Is that the future of mankind? Is they're going to dumb us down and depopulate the ones with the critical thinking, and the only people you have left are people who will just do like you say, rinse and repeat?
I think to be honest, the start of the film Idiocracy, you know, when he's actually done a bit of travelling and he gets there and he finds out the history of what's been going on, what it states there, that's going on now.
Yeah.
And what it's stating is that you've got these intelligent people, they're deciding not to have children because it's a bad economy, it's the wrong time to have children. But then you've got all the stupid people in the world, they're turning out 8 to 10 children at a time.
Yep.
And boom, down goes the IQ levels, till in the end you've got some big showman as the president.
Yep.
Oops, too late.
Yeah. Well, the real reason for there being a difference between the haves having intelligent children and the have-nots not having intelligent children has always been the two-sided educational system, to where if you have, then you get education. If you don't have, then you get what's left. It's a purposeful thing that's been done to society for ages, whereas there are many. I mean, look at the people that we know who have come up with the solutions to what we're dealing with now. I mean, Chaziz in his garage, other people like him, people that have come up with new ways of which are old ways of healing, which are ways of educating, all of these things that the people themselves, they have the wherewithal to figure it out and to do it. They get no help from the elite system because that's a threat to their hold on humanity. As long as they can remain superior, as long as they can have control, then everything is okay. They can't allow the masses to ever become educated to the point to where they can make a concerted difference in the way things are done. And we, the have-nots, we accept this for some reason. We accept that we can have a secondary education system for us. We accept that we can be beholden to those who have to give us the crumbs from their table. We've been taught that this is just the way societies are run, that you have to have the upper class and the middle class and the lower class in order for societies to be structured, to be strong. And this is, to me, it just doesn't make any sense, because what you're saying is, in essence, is that you guys are going to be relegated to the worker bees, and you're going to do our bidding, and it'll be okay. You'll be all right. And we're not all right. I mean, look at the world. Look at the world that this type of society has built, and look where we're at. And it's purposeful to keep the have-nots in a perpetual state of need, a perpetual state of inferiority. If we ever stand up, like Shaziz talks about all the time, if we ever face the grasshoppers down, they don't exist anymore. We take them down if we ever stood up, and they know that. Yeah. And that's why we're in this system.
Well, it makes you kind of wish that all the male extreme groups and the female extreme groups that are all fighting for their rights and all the rest of it would just literally join together and go for worldwide equal rights for every single person on the planet, to get rid of the class system, to actually move together as a united people of the planet. But there's so much division, and that's created all the time. And it's until people get educated to the division that they can actually start getting together and uniting against it all.
There's a video out there titled "How to Schedule Abortion at 9 Months Pregnant," and the lady who's doing it obviously isn't actually advocating that, but it's basically that there's actually, you know, discussion on the table about that, you know, and that was unheard of years ago. I mean, the things that the moral decline of society is just, it's just off the scale. And if you look at some of these upcoming leaders on the so-called leftist side of the fence over here, some of the things that are coming out of their mouth is just crazy stuff. So if you got leaders like that, and you got the mainstream media that has the majority of all the different news outlets, and this is the majority of the news going down to people who had been indoctrinated in school and pretty much dumbed down. I mean, a lot of the things that they say, you know, feels good. We talk about worlds without borders as well. We'd love to see that. But we're not, at this stage in the game, we're not ready for that. You know, because there's people out there that you just can't mix these two societies with each other, because it just doesn't work. You know, they don't like each other. They have different ideology, beliefs, or whatever you call it. And you know, you put them together, and they're going to fight. You know, and that's a sad, well, but true.
Yeah, and there's another reason for that also, Shaziz. The main reason is that, like the thing that we're having with these caravans that are pushing our borders, they're leaving their countries. Why are they leaving their countries? Because their countries are not allowing them to thrive. Yep. So what is the remedy? The remedy is for them to leave that country and come to another country that allows them to thrive. Well, here's the issue. Is that doesn't cure anything. It does not cure anything. It means that those governments of those countries are not serving their people, are not in it to promote the health and the benefits of being part of that society. So that's where they should start. That's where we should be pointing fingers at and saying, wait a minute, let's make this government take care of its people. Let's make this government show these people. But that's not happening. There's something wrong with that.
That's another problem with our governmental system right now, is when they go out there, because these people are wanting to leave their countries, and they go there under the guise of we're going to go over there and destabilize this leader and get him out of there so that you can get somebody else elected in there by the people that's going to do better. But what they end up doing is going over there and making a worse mess, because their real initial underlying reason for going there had nothing to do with helping these people out. It had to do with making money for corporations, or, you know, resources or stuff like that, or get a foothold in these different places. So it's like a silent takeover of the world, so to speak. You know, that one world government kind of thing. But meanwhile, these people want to get up out of there like you're talking about. They want to come here instead of trying to fix their own government, to fix their own country, you know?
Well, their own government has turned their back on them. I mean, Venezuela, if you look at Venezuela, you're looking at socialism gone wrong, which it always does. Yeah, but these people, I feel for them. I truly do, because they have a government that has taken everything from them and left them nothing. These people, they're having to kill their animals in order to survive. And this is unheard of. This should be non-existent. Nobody's talking about that. All they're talking about is these guys are coming in mass and they're crashing the borders and they're coming over here and they're getting our welfare and our tax dollars and stuff. Yes, they are, and that's wrong. Because not only is their country suffering, but ours will suffer because of this. So where are the intelligent minds that can look at this and say, wait a minute, we need to make changes? You know, you got the UN that stands up and all the time and they say, we're here for the people. We're going to make this world equal for everybody. In all the years that the UN has been, there has not been one single day when they have made that come true. There has not been one single day when they have put their foot in a country to where that country has benefited from what the UN has done. Yet here we are applauding the UN for coming out with Agenda 2020, with coming out with all of this crap that is not solving any issues whatsoever, but is creating issues, you know? And so what are we doing? What are we doing allowing this to happen? I know Gregory has something he wants to say.
So does Barry.
I'll let Barry go first.
No, you go ahead, Gregory. I'm still drinking my second cup of coffee here, and the brain's starting to work, but good conversation going. And also, hey, welcome to Kelly Elizabeth. We got an Alberta viewer listening in for the first time. Welcome, Kelly. Go ahead, Gregory.
Well, I'd like to throw two suggestions out there to change the world. First thing we got to do is remember that every single person on this planet knows the difference between right and wrong. So the first thing we got to do is everybody needs to start speaking up where morals are regarded. There are criminals that are making these laws. The laws are criminal and wrong, a lot of them. So more people across the world need to speak out about what's right and wrong with laws and governments. And number two, when the criminals are making the laws, it's time to change the laws. Because you can't actually have a quiet and civilized change of government with the laws being created by a criminal group, because you can't do it. You need a whole new set of laws to change things. The laws we got at the moment are run by the criminals, so they're always going to work in the criminals' favour. So, firstly, morals. Everyone needs to talk about it so that we can all get on the same page of what is right and what is wrong. And then secondly, change some of the laws. Because by doing that, then we could actually give everyone on this planet equal human rights. Basic, but equal human rights. That is a myth at the moment. And then secondly, we could actually claim that this planet become a person, so that all the big corporations can be taken to task for all the damage they've done to her. And that's my suggestion.
Well, getting back to immigration just for a minute, and what Patty was talking about, these masses that are forming down there, well, sure, you know, I mean, if I was a family in Venezuela or Guatemala right now, and I was struggling to put food on the table, and in the distance I can see the land of milk and honey, and all I've got to do is get into that country, and all of a sudden I've got incredible benefits given to me and my family, I would be doing everything I could possibly. So I don't blame those people, but on the same side of the conversation, we got to both talk about who actually is in these caravans. And I've looked into multiple reports about the actual population base of these caravans, and if you really want to get down to the facts, very, 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 very few families, but mega amounts of military age men that want to get into America. So that, you know, stopping them at the border right now is absolutely imperative. We have to have borders if we're going to be nations. But Patty really hit it on the nail when she said we got to address the problem at the root. And the root is that these people's countries right now, Venezuela is an absolute prime example of socialism on steroids. I can't even imagine what these people are going through. And they're sitting there going, look at America. Look, all we got to do is get there. Come on, guys. It don't matter if we die, because if we stay here, we're going to die anyways. So there's always two sides to every conversation. I just wanted to interject that thought. Good morning, guys. I've been sick for the last 4 days. I don't know if I'm banging all eight cylinders today, but I'll try. Nice to be in here.
Well, it's good to have you, and good to have Buzz in here, too. What I see, though, with what's actually going on out here, like I said, it's a small percentage of people that's actually causing all this damage. You know, and you know, we get these people up there that are supposedly leaders, and I think that these leaders, these so-called leaders, are actually pretty much hand-picked for their craziness, you know, because I can't be the only one who has noticed that if you listen to some of these senators and congressmen actually talk, they don't sound very intelligent at all. And they sound like people who would, at the drop of a hat, for a few extra bucks, vote on something that they probably don't even care nothing about. You know? And then when it comes down to people actually doing the voting, the average Joe, most of the folks voting these days or coming up to vote in the next coming elections, they're not even educated to the facts of everything. They've been propagandized so bad that the next vote might be, you know, the last vote. it might be tragic, you know. And just to listen to all this stuff, it's just mind blowing to me. I can't believe when you look at who you actually have to pick from on that so called ticket, so to speak. It's nobody that I want representing me. I wouldn't vote for any of those people. I mean, just listening to them, for whatever people think about Trump, the man's been in business for a long time. He knows how to run a business, and so whatever they think about him and all, the more they try to demonize him, the more I respect him because he stands up against them. But I'm still like everybody else, I'm being cautious because it ain't the first time we all been played. Probably won't be the last if things keep going the way they're going. But the people behind the scenes that are actually pulling the strings with the money, guys like George Soros that you hear about, you know, how does these people get by with this? They go in and start wars with people. These bankers, they go out there and they fund these wars with people, all so that they can maintain the power structure that the people down at the bottom despise, but think that they can't do anything about it.
And so, they support every day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's just like, in the chat, I'm having a discussion right now because somebody wants to, it's all Trump. Trump's a racist kind of thing. And we never, that's why we're in the position that we are, is that people buy the party line. Hate this guy, hate that color, hate this church, hate that religion, you know, and it has nothing to do with those aspects. It has to do with the control behind it.
Yep.
If you take Trump out, if you take the offensive religion out, it doesn't end. It does not end. Go back, look, learn about history and see how we're drug along. We are told what to do, when to hate, who to hate, why to hate, and none of it has any bearing on truth.
That's
none of it. It is just a simple way of keeping us divided.
That's
you know?
That's the whole game right there. As long as you keep people fighting amongst each other, look, they already got all the infrastructure they need. They got the buildings, the prisons, they got the laws and everything set up just the way they want it. So they want you to fight. Heck, if you go to civil war, they're going to make it out like bandits. You realize that there are people who started wars and not only funded both sides of the war, but set it up so that no matter who won, they'd come out on the top financially.
Exactly. And it's the same thing right now. I mean, they're happy. They're happy with people who think Trump is racist and think Trump is the evil do-all, be-all of everything we've been suffering for the last 2,000 years, you know? They're happy about that. They're sitting back in their chairs and they're rocking, drinking their martinis or whatever it is they drink, and they're just smiling because they know as long as they've got half the population that is willing to grab onto this rhetoric and run with it, that we're never going to go forward,
yep.
Ever. There isn't going to be a forward. It's always going to be a backwards, never forwards. Just saying.
Divide and conquer, Patty. And if you look at it, it's exactly what they're doing. This principle works so well, and they're ramping it up no matter what you look at going on right now in our society. It's a mechanism of division. We could talk about multiple issues, but it's always a division between people. And as long as that keeps going on and people can't recognize these divisions and set them aside, we're not going to go forward.
Well, I think that this plan to divide and conquer is a... I keep saying this, and I know it, maybe it sounds, I don't know, when I talk about America all the time, and I say America seems to be like the last beacon of hope. I mean, for Pete's sake, everybody wants to migrate here is what they say, and we're all terrible people if we don't want them to migrate here. But the problem is we've seen what went over in the UK and Scotland and Ireland and Canada and all other places where they just said, oh yeah, everybody come over here, you know. Well, it just didn't work out the way that everybody thought it was going to. And, you know, we all got good hearts. We love people. We want, you know, we're a melting pot. We're, you know, but they have got to break America down. The citizens of the Americans, they got to break them down. They got to dumb them down. They got to get these people to not understand or ever even recognize that they even had any rights to begin with. And that's why these amendments like the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are so doggone important, because the only thing that stands between the American citizen and the tyrannical government is the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. That actually gives you the right to speak out and fight back. Once those are gone, it's just like a steamroller. They're going to roll right in. And the moment we go crazy and start fighting each other, that's when all these rules that they put in play, that's why they want to destabilize the United States. That's why they want the Americans fighting each other. That's why they want to flood the United States with as many immigrants from anywhere. They don't care where they're coming from. They don't care if they have diseases. They don't care if they have criminal records. It doesn't matter because the ends justify the mean, because the plan is if you can get total chaos going here, now you can have all the blue helmets come in to save the day. It reminds me of that doggone movie, Patty, that series, the Jericho movie. Exactly the same scenario.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is most people in society don't realize the danger we're in right now.
Yeah.
We are at a time right now where we could absolutely see everything disappear in a very, very short period of time. And, boy, I'll tell you, if people can't wait till this right now, then I really don't know what to say to them. She says it's so in our face. And it's just ramping up in Canada here. Our government is completely rogue, completely out of control. Absolutely disgusting, satanic leader we have in this country that is just ramping up the agenda. They have spent millions of dollars attacking media. They're in the process of spending millions more to attack free speech in Canada. And we're paying for it. And I'll tell you, Canadians right now, I've never seen such a rise in peed off people in my life. But
this is worldwide.
I was just going to say, Pat, this isn't Canada. This isn't the United States. This is worldwide agenda being played out on. And it's so in our face right now that if we don't step up to this now, guys, we ain't going to like what our children are going to put up with. Period.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We can't be passive about this thing.
Can't be silent.
We've got to actually stay up and talk. And look, these ideas that I come up with for my science projects and stuff to benefit the... And even the little projects, what I talk about, you know, doing the bottle caps for Science Bucket campaign, it's all meant to inspire some minds out there. You know, the youth is always talking about we got to save the planet. Well, you show them a way to save the planet. Even though I don't think the planet per se is doomed, I think we could possibly be doomed because we're going to mess it up where it ain't going to be livable for us. But I know the planet's powerful enough to fix itself. But regardless... Just like they said, that we need a clean, renewable alternative energy. You know, I step forward, I put my my piece of the puzzle on the table, and I'm hoping people will run with it. The same thing needs to happen from these people, other people out there, people listening in on this show. You know, if you're 50 years old or older, and you've been seeing the changes that we're talking about, you become that wise man on the hill. And you start helping those younger generations to see the world in a different view before you're gone. Because once you're gone and there ain't nobody to tell the tales, it's like all the elders of the tribes, once they're gone and over the generations that they forget their traditions and they forget the people that they were and the power that they actually had and the way things used to be. When our generation's gone, if there's nobody to move those tales forward, to tell those stories, like these podcasts that I keep talking about, were forever digitized out there in cyberspace for somebody to stumble onto these one day, and this might be forbidden knowledge at one time. And sometime in the future, these words that are coming out of Patty and Barry and Buzz and myself, these might be illegal. These might be thought crimes. If you get caught with this digital file from the Knights of the Round Table, you could be prosecuted or jailed or worse. Who knows? But if there is nobody left over to tell the tale of what we've been talking about right now, the things that we've had to witness, they could, with every bit of what they've got out there, all the power structure, the technology, they could erase us from history. They could erase the story. They could change the past. Suddenly, the New World Order is the best thing that ever happened. And this is how we got here. We fought the bad guys and we won. And here you are. You got everything you need. All you got to do is what we tell you to.
And if you want a glimpse of the future, if you want to be able to peer into the scry ball or whatever it is to see the future, all you have to do is look at the past and you see where this is heading. All these divisive movements that we have, I'm going to talk about the U.S. between the blue and the red, and the incitement toward the violence and the anger, the wanting to shut down half the population's ability to speak, All of this is going in one direction. And those people who are standing up with the hate, saying you can't wear this hat and you can't wear that shirt and you can't say this, but I can say whatever the heck I want, those people are going to find out that when they have destroyed the coherency of the people to the point to where the government can finally step in and put the boot on their back, that they will have no more rights either. That they will be in the same boat that they're trying to put the other people in, because they're part of the machine. They're being driven. They're being controlled. And yep. There is a purpose behind this. And it's happening in Europe. You look at the Yellow Vests who have risen up in Greece and France. Why did they? Because they were torn down by their government so bad that they only had one option, and that was to go to the streets. Yes. And then all of a sudden, this thing was formed called the Yellow Vest. And they allowed it to blossom, and they allowed it to grow, and it kept growing, and it kept growing, and branched off into another country, and another country, and another country. And they're saying, see, we're having our voice, we're fighting back. But have you seen now that they're making laws that are going to put the boot down on the Yellow Vests?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Trying to crush that rebellion.
That's it.
And at the same time, they're bringing in the paid-for opposition. You've got the red scarves and the blue vests that are totally anti-violent, totally anti-Yellow Vests and all the rest of it. And again, it's paid for by these rich elites.
Yeah.
It's all managed, both sides, every time. That's why I said I wish people would talk about morals more and voice their opinion about morals. Because we all know the difference between right and wrong. And arguments can be won from moral standpoints rather than, oh, this is red and this one's blue, or this one's yellow and this one's blue. You know. Morals actually have a standpoint in most of our hearts, and it's worth talking about, I think.
Yeah. That's
exactly. If you have hate, if you are motivated by hate, if when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that you want to do is strike out at somebody, if the first thing that you want to do is disparage somebody, then you're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong side. Hate does nothing but create hate. Yeah. It creates avarice. It creates fear. It creates pain. It creates suffering. So if that's where you want to be, then look at what you're doing and say to yourself, is this going to bring a better day?
Well, I'm not so sure that people even want to make things better. I think that there are actually people out there, including in the environmentalist supposed movement, that don't want a resolution. You know, I don't know
what
it is.
We're all being led.
I don't know what it is that they want, because I've said, you guys heard, and gals have heard me, I call them out, come here. I want to talk to environmentalist groups. I want to talk to government officials. I want to, you know, tell them, look, hey, we got solutions and ideas. Why are you guys out there doing the things that you're doing? If you really care about the world, why aren't we fixing it? Why aren't you seeking out people like you here on this round table right now who are sitting here pointing out all these things? That's the question. Why don't they do that?
Why aren't you hearing the words?
Yeah.
Why are you not understanding what we're saying? You know, Lizzie's in the chat, and she says, the planet is self-healing, living entity, so are we. Just most don't realize. And then she says, that's part of the conditioning. Create fear, selfish behavior, sense of lack, etc. makes one weak. Sadly, most believe it's life, and no one can do anything about it. And she's absolutely right.
Conditioned to believe this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job, aren't they, guys? They
really are. And
sit back and look at it. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we understand what's going on. Most of the listeners understand, really get a grasp on what's going on. But the general population still buys into this. And, you know, we got to reach them. And I ask myself every day, why can't people understand that this is all just a giant game, that we're being played like pawns, and the guys that are pushing the pieces around don't care one inch about you or your family or your future. Why can't people get this? I don't understand. I really don't, because it's so in our face now. Go ahead.
The people's been desensitized to accept things that normally wouldn't be acceptable. I've heard about abortion things, and I understand both arguments on the deal, but now they're actually quite literally talking about 9 months abortion.
Out of the womb.
My God!
They're actually talking about being able to make a decision on the life and death of that child when it's left the mother's body.
Yeah.
I mean, are you insane? Has society got to that point that we even talk about a situation like this? I mean, it just really, really highlights how far society has slid.
Well,
and what we're up against is this.
There are actually people out there that think that if a person might have Down syndrome or whatever, that their quality of life wouldn't be very good, so that you would be doing that person a favor. I know many Down syndrome children. These kids, they got hearts of gold, and they don't do nothing but love people. They are no harm to the people. Maybe they might need a little bit of extra help or whatever. So what? We take care of our own. That's what we humans are supposed to be doing. We take care of our own. We take care of our family.
If we look, we can see where this is going. It's going to go to the point to where when you go to the doctor and he says, oh, you're pregnant, he's going to run some tests. And those tests are going to show that, oh, there may be a problem with this child, so the state requires you to abort this child.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't have a choice. We can't support another sucker in society, so you just got to get rid of it. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, China's got two...
Insanity.
China's got, what, a one or two child policy, don't they, now?
They
have a policy to where... you can only have two children. You have to have a license to have a child, I think.
They actually reversed that, Patty, last year. They took that up.
Well, cool.
They reversed that. Actually, I read an article on that, and the Chinese government reversed a stand on that. So that was an issue over there, but it is no more.
Just the mere fact that it was ever even on the table as far as a law or something like that shows the craziness of what's going on in the world, because... You should have, from the time you're born till the time you die, you should have a choice of your family and be able to, as long as you're not out harming nobody, be able to live free. That's what we're supposed to be, right? But these folks out here protesting, you know, supposedly fighting the man, the capitalist, the terrible capitalist or whatever, and they want to be Marxist or socialist or communist or whatever, if they ever get what they want. All right, this world would be a mess. You look at all the examples throughout history, how they all played out. They never played out in the favor of the people. They always played out in the favor of the government. Whoever is strongest won the battle, and they made the rules. And so that's why I say America being the last beacon of what we think to be at least somewhat freedom. It's not as free as you think over here. It's expensive, for one, and they make their money off of our labors and our fighting and our, basically being divided amongst each other. Every time you go out and get in a fist fight, you're paying the man. You're paying the doctor.
We're paying them to divide us. We're paying them to destroy our planet. We're paying them to poison us. We're paying them to absolutely destroy the moral fiber of the human being. You know, we are in the days of Noah, guys.
Yeah.
We are. And I'll go to biblical reference, because any time in society, Sodom and Gomorrah is another example, society has gotten to a point of depravity where society is now that just about anything goes. You can be, do whatever you want. Nothing matters. Life is nothing. It's something that can be brushed aside in a whim. then that society will collapse. And that's where we're going. It's like history repeats itself. And Patty made a very, very good point earlier. And if you study history, and I've studied a bit, I'm not a really smart guy when it comes to it. I can't retain all the information. But my understanding is through history, anytime a society has got to a point where there is no morals, that the society has become totally moral corrupt, then that society collapses. And that's what's going to happen in Canada and around the world.
That's why I think it's important for us to reach out to people, at least of our generation, to try to inspire the younger generations to remember things. You know, the wise man on the hill kind of thing. You know, hey, set them down and have a good conversation with a lot of these kids down there. I've actually tried to talk to some of these kids out here. They have no idea about the United States Constitution. You could ask them, they might be able to quote the First Amendment and the Second Amendment because they hear it on TV all the time. But if you ask them any other question out there about it, they don't know. It used to be a required learning deal when you went to school, that you were required to learn that you had rights so that you'd be able to know these as you're growing up, that the government couldn't walk all over the top of you. But now, the way that all these supposed anti-gun movements are going on, you know, these folks out there that think they're doing a good thing by trying to disarm the American people, they're only promoting that the government gets more power. Once the government has the ultimate power, you don't have the right to defend yourself.
They're buying it.
Yeah. Talk to some
Stalin
of these...
took the guns. Mao took the guns. Hitler took the guns. Yeah. Where'd that go?
Talk to some of these people over there that have to go to a hunting
amnesia.
Lodge. They can have a rifle, but they can't have it at home. It has to be left in a hunting lodge somewhere, and they have to
locked
have
up.
Special permits to go over and fire these things. So what's the point? You see what I'm saying? You can't fight machine guns with pitchforks and clubs. You just can't do it. And if you go look at that video that I talked about, the Jericho, it was the strongest people that won the battle. All right? It was a mess. And people coming up against people. But these folks had the power. They had the guns. And you had neighbors that would do things to each other that you wouldn't see in today's society is what I'm trying to point out. Like right now, I don't think my neighbor's going to come over and steal from me. I got a good neighbor. But what about whenever all heck broke loose and his family was starving or he needed medicine that he knew I had? Would he come over and ask nicely, or would he just come over and take it from me? You see what I mean?
Exactly.
And the strongest man in that incident is going to be the one that is basically the boss. And if that's the world that these people want to live in, then they need to keep on protesting. But by gosh, when they get what they want, you know, if these leaders out there that always sitting there trying to call America a democracy, we got to protect our democracy. Those are the ones that scare me the most, because as supposedly representation, the senators and congressmen, they don't even know that the United States has never been a democracy. We are a representative republic, which means we select our representation by the number of people that we have in our district is give us the number of votes. And so these people that go out there and they are supposed to look out for our best interest. However, by the time they get to Washington, the cesspool that it is, they're bribed, blackmailed, and given everything under the sun to further special interest agendas. And the people sit back idly by and say, oh, well, we'll get them next election. What? No, it's going to get worse the next election if you don't start vocalizing to these people. I mean, mass mail campaigns. Not going out there standing in the front lawn of the doggone White House and protesting with your pitchfork and your picket sign or whatever. That never did any good. They look out the window, they laugh at you, they call the doggone law on you, come down there and they pepper spray peaceful protesters. If you've ever seen the video, they're walking, this officer dressed like a Nazi stormtrooper, is walking all the way down a whole line of people sitting on the curb because they will not comply, which is their right, according to the Constitution, to peaceful non-compliance, and sprays pepper spray in their faces all the way down the line. If that doesn't disturb you to the core, what if that was your child or your mother or your grandma or your dad or somebody sitting there that was being treated like that by your government? You know, and I'm not advocating we go out there and start rioting against our government. I'm advocating that you do something that they don't expect. You don't fight. You peacefully bring your voice up and you make it heard. You make it heard with emails. You make it heard with written text. You make it heard on radio shows like this and social media networks. They got every bit of opposition against you already out there. You see it. You got all these supposed Antifa groups, you know, paid protesters that roll in there and start beating up on people because of the color of their hat. They tell you because you're white that you must be a racist. Because you're white, you must be ashamed of your forefathers. Because you're white, you did all this.
Doesn't it strike anybody as odd that these people like Antifa and the other movements that are out there with the hate rhetoric and beating people up, throwing things in their faces, destroying the cities and stuff, that they are allowed to do what they do without repercussion? Yes. Yet the other side says a word and wears a hat or a t-shirt and they are the hateful people. They are the devils. Doesn't anybody see what's happening here?
There are videos.
Hate is being allowed to be perpetrated only by one side, and the governments are allowing this.
There are videos out there where the police are standing right there while these groups are smashing windows. Now, I don't know about y'all, but in my day, the police would run in there and they'd throw them in jail. I mean, that's their job. They just watched the crime being committed, and they're standing idly by and not doing it. Who told them to stand down? Who told them not to do anything, not to interfere, to allow these people to fight each other? And it's going on college campuses. You got to understand that this stuff is intentional. You know,
it's being protected by the government, of course, because it's part of the agenda. I mean, but the hypocrisy is so in our face right now. If you don't see it, then you truly got your head in the sand. I mean, what's going on right now, especially, I mean, we have laws in this country against hate speech, and yet the Quran is allowed to be sold in bookstores. I mean, if you've ever read the Quran, if there's ever a piece of hate speech in the history of the world, that book personifies it all. And yet it is allowed to be sold in bookstores in North America and in Canada. We have imams in mosques being recorded absolutely, absolutely calling for the death of infidels, the destruction of the Jews, the complete destruction of our society. This is being preached openly in mosques in Canada, recorded, and the government is crackers about it. You hear nothing.
Yep.
Well, we got to call for number one. If you really want to get to the heart of this, we really must call out the rule of law. If that's what I think really right now in Canada, we see a huge movement where people are by the hundreds phoning the RCMP and asking for the arrest of Justin Trudeau. I mean, I can tell you of probably, I know of 700 or 800 calls that have been made to the RCMP here in the last 2 weeks. People are getting up, they're going, hey, look, there is no rule of law. We have two laws right now being enforced in Canada. We have a prime minister that outright committing treason against the Canadian people. Where is the rule of law? And that kind of pressure, I think, will have a result in my world.
Well, that's what...
But that same thing is happening in every country where the rulers... Go ahead, Gregory.
But that's why I was saying the brainwashing has got to the extent where everyone out there in this day and age is being brainwashed to follow the rule of law and forget about the fundamental, by nature, in our human hearts, difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
We all know most of their laws that are out there now are wrong, and it's run by criminals, so I think we need to change the law.
agree
Let's
with
go
you,
back to an old, basic, straightforward set of laws worldwide.
Yeah.
Right now, we can't change that overnight. I agree with what you're saying, Gregory, because the laws were made by criminals to serve the criminals. But in the same mouthful, we do have guidelines and laws that are laid out in black and white in this country, and they're being totally violated by the government. And all I'm saying, by calling it out, you're just raising public awareness. And that is the whole point to this, is that we need to get the public educated to really what's going on, that really where the enemy is.
Well, what
that's
happens,
just another mechanism of doing it. That's all I'm saying.
What happens the day that our voices stop and we stop doing these radio shows? What happens when nobody else is out there saying, hey, y'all need to take an opportunity while you still have an opportunity to speak up to do it? Because there's going to come a time when our voices aren't going to be around. You know,
I think that time's coming real soon, Shiz.
Well, look what they're doing on
sooner than we think.
All the social medias, they're taking people that they don't agree with out. And if you Google up news, you're going to get all the name brands and none of the alternative anymore. YouTube isn't YouTube anymore. It's TheyTube. It's terrible. And all these other networks that are coming up online are saying, you know, hey, we're going to let you talk what you want to talk over here. You know, but nonetheless, you still have that machine, that monster that's Google, that has control over who gets it. They got little checks, green checks that they put by a certain website. It's verified, or, you know, verified news. Who verified that? Or these security certificates where sites like mine, if I don't pay for this certificate, then anybody who tries to come, their Google browser will tell them that my site's not safe, and that that they'll scare them away. And so we're gradually being shut down and shoved to the back of the internet so that people won't come here. And that's why it's important for people to share these podcasts with each other. Ship them around while we got an opportunity to talk to each other and share these solutions. And these ideas for mad science and to, you know, alternative energy, alternative medicines, things that we share on these podcasts, you know, there's going to come a day where you're not even going to know this knowledge even existed. If you don't protect it now for the future generations, it's not going to be around. They're already setting the stage for, they're putting the dumbest people that they can in office, because the dumbest people that they got out there will actually follow the status quo. They're quoting science that isn't even science. They're lying to people. And some of them, they know they're lying, but they do it anyway. The news, the reporters, they will just read whatever the teleprompter tells them as if it was the gospel. And how can you do that? How can you sit there and know that you are literally attacking your own nation? You're trying to advocate for a civil war in your own country. You're supposed to be a representative, and you're out there telling people, next time you see somebody in the Republican Party, you get in their faces, you tell them they're not welcome, you run them out of the restaurants and tell them that they're not supposed to be there anymore, whatever. What the heck is this? In the old days, that person right there would have been in the jailhouse. They wouldn't have been up there in Congress or the Senate, you know, and they're telling you to go out there and start wars with your brothers and sisters. They're advocating that you get in the streets and get violent. Now, the youth coming up, hey, it's a free-for-all. Now, think about that. If all the news that they're getting is from the mainstream, and the indoctrination that they got from the school, and they're acting the way that they're acting, and they're getting by with it, what's to stop it? You see what I'm saying?
Well, the brainwashing has been really well done, hasn't it? I mean, when you think about it, they've had all these think tanks for donkey's years. I mean, look at the New World Order, yeah? How clever is that? The New World Order, NWO. What's the promotion of it? Live in the now. NWO, now, yeah? Why live in the now? Oh, because that is the category of dependency. You don't look at the past to see the mistakes of the past, so guess what? They can pull the wool over your eyes again and again and again. You don't look to the future and prepare for the future, so guess what? They can hit you with as many surprises as they want. It has been so well thought out and so well brainwashed throughout the years
You know?
Yeah.
We need to wake people up, and to do that, we need to re-educate people. To do that, we need to actually change the system, and to do that, we need to change the law.
Yeah,
there's people out there writing new laws. There's something called the Court of Ages. There's a new law out that people are trying to sort out called the common law or natural law, you know, where people start off from communities and they build it up in their communities. They appoint a sheriff, this, that, and the other, and it all builds up from there. If we can start getting something happening worldwide, then we got a chance.
Yep.
But it takes everyone to break the brainwashing.
That's the whole deal.
It's easier to fool someone than it is to convince them that they've been fooled.
That's it. That's the whole deal right there in a nutshell. These folks, they know what they've been up to. They've been doing this for many years, and it's an overwhelming task. That's why I said my brain hurts, you know. It just...
That's a good name for this show today, just because it does hurt. When you start trying to wrap your mind around everything that's going on right now, it makes your brain hurt. So, good title.
Well, I think what we're doing is the best that we can do, and if we get some things started on a grassroots level and start to, you know, do positive things in our community, then, you know, other people see that. You know, the Idiocracy movie, I really, you know, that's not one of my favorite movies because it's pretty disgusting at points, but nonetheless, it shows what these folks have put into place so that you would be dumbed down, not even knowing that you even had rights, and they would literally get you to fight for your own enslavement, you know? That's one of the things in the movie The Matrix that they talked about. You will literally have people that will fight you tooth and nail to maintain what they've got, because it's just that they don't even recognize that they are slaves to the system.
And it's happening now.
Yeah.
Call The Matrix.
It's a sad deal, but if the people that are speaking up now stop speaking... These people win. These ridiculous characters that they put up there and claim to be, you know, your leaders. You know, we're going to make the world better. You know, some of the things that these people have said, they're just mind blowing. And they already got the plan in place. Once all chaos breaks loose, order out of chaos. That's one of the deals. You know. Out of many, one or whatever, you know, you seen them. It's on your dollar bill, that old conspiracy that goes back with the all-seeing-eye. These folks, they know what they're doing. They know how to play you like a banjo, you know. And the evils of this world is just seem to be... Man, what you said earlier about the days of Noah, Barry, I tell you, for people that despise that book, I say that whoever wrote that book, even if it was only 100 years ago... must have had some sort of insight to the future, because Paul Harvey said it at 65. Somebody wrote it down in a book that's been going around for a long time, and at least it ought to be used as a reference to what not to do in the future, wouldn't you think?
Well, you know, there isn't a prophecy right now written in the Bible that can be disputed, and I defy anybody to dispute any prophecies that have been written about this particular time. So there's really, you know, there's nothing to see here, guys. I mean, it's 100% accurate, and what it says about our time right now, it tells us what's coming, which is this. And I got to follow what it's telling me. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about change and helping people, but I've said many times in my life, it's what your spiritual connection right now to mine is to Jesus Christ. He is the one that's ruling my life. And if you don't have that, you will go crazy, because chaos is coming to society. It is absolutely the mechanism they're going to use to bring society to its knees. And if we think about it for a minute, there's multiple things they could do in 24 or 48 hours that would turn our world completely upside down, where people would be running around the house banging their heads against the walls wondering what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And if that sounds far-fetched, it's not. So really, all they're waiting right now is for the word go.
What happens?
What they're waiting for is the word go. And when the word go comes, she says, they could collapse our economy, they could release a pandemic, they could have false flags going off all over the place. People's brains would absolutely be put into a complete state of chaos.
Well, what happens?
Of course, when that happens, she says, they'll walk in with the answer. So beware.
What happens when the doggone cell phones go silent? What happens when the technology drops off? People wouldn't know what to do with themselves. Right now, you can get online and you can Google up how to farm or how to work on something, a whole bunch of different DIYs. You can kind of be in touch with what's going on out there in the world. But what happens when it all goes silent and you can't, you ain't got no power or whatever, you know?
Yeah, a couple of EMPs would really ruin our day, guys.
So,
I mean, you think about that alone, she says, my God, what a way to attack America. Go ahead.
We need to protect our knowledge, and we need to protect our neighbors. We need to protect one another, because this thing has gotten so far out of hand, and the newest generations coming out of school are clueless to what we're talking about. We're what the mainstream media call tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theories. We think the world's out to get us, and it is. It really is. I mean, come on. If you look at what you've been showed out there, there's things, it don't make no sense why you got a child in a doggone library dressed in drag, and now he's on the news and they're glorifying this child dressed up.
Standing with a naked man.
Yeah, it's like, what?
And it's put out on mainstream. Can you believe this?
What is this?
What is going on, guys? Did I wake
it's
up
the
on
the promotion of Satanism.
Of course it is, Gregory. The bottom line is Satan is running wild right now. He's having a heyday because his power is expanding by the minute, and people are buying into this. And if they don't see it and they don't have a change of heart, I don't know what to say. I really don't. Our society has become so morally corrupt, and that's the bottom line.
That's why people have to start speaking out about what is right and what is wrong. I mean, look at the abortion, yeah? I don't know if any of you have ever heard of some of these people that have joined the satanic cults and then came out, or been raised in satanic families, but when abortion first started coming out, that was one of the main ways they could do all seven sins and get away with it, because some of these kids would be taken into the abortion places and they would have to physically help with an abortion to commit the murder sin of the satanic ritual.
It's disgusting.
And then you've got the other satanic rituals of drinking babies' blood. Well, there you go, abortion again.
I can't wrap my mind around, because it's so evil.
It is also evil. It really is.
It's the depths of it.
To hear
how
it.
How can it get any more evil?
To actually hear it come out, it is so unbelievable that you can't even. I have trouble grasping that in my mind, but I tell you folks, I've seen things in my lifetime that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. I've seen some terrible, terrible things in my lifetime, things that I don't want to see for society, and that's why I'm so into this whole dream thing to get out there and make this world better, even if it's beyond our control, even if the pile is so big that we, you know, it's so overwhelming that we can't do it. If we don't even try, if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. But if you at least try to do something, at least something gets done. And we can't just continue to say, oh, this is okay, you know. It's not okay. It's not okay for a child to be in a doggone library dressed in like drag and glorifying on the news and telling everybody, if you think this is bad, then you're just homophobic and whatever, you know. Or these parents that are raising their children up to be confused, they're calling them babies instead of babies. What the heck is going on in the minds of the mental masses going out there? I mean, it's
well, if your child doesn't go to school, they'll come and they'll take that child because that child needs an education, and the state is going to say, we're going to take that child. But that same child can dress in drag and stand next to a naked person, nothing wrong with that.
It's off the scale. I mean, it's like every single day that mainstream media, whether it be Hollywood or the news or governments, try to see how far that they can actually push the limits. I mean, if you look at all the laws that are on the books, these laws aren't there for them. I mean, they're getting by with things that we would have been so far into the jail, we'd be speaking Chinese. They're not being held accountable. They're not being criminalized for their hate speech, telling them to go out and get violent with people. They're not the ones sitting in the jailhouse right now.
No, they're being promoted.
Yeah. It's the poor guy with the bag of weed in his pocket that ends up spending the most time in jail. It ain't the murderers or the baby killers.
No, yeah. They're let out. If you rape a child, you get a couple years, man. If you have a bag of weed, that's good for 20.
Yeah.
That's another one of the main brainwashings, though, isn't it? Actions speak louder than words. We hear it, and it makes logical sense, but most people don't realise that that's what they're doing to us. They are doing all the actions of the nasty stuff to us, and they are expecting us to put up with it and look for the truth of what's happening and only use words in return. I mean, I've got a little tribute to the Matrix, the spoon bit, which is, do not try and know the truth, that's impossible. Instead, only try to realise the reality. There is no truth. Then you will see that it's not the truth that matters, it is only the consequence that matters. And when you live in this modern world today, where they lie, 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 and lie, everyone's fighting to find out what the truth is, that creates the diversity. How about we stop focusing on what the truth is, get an understanding because of what's right and wrong, and sort out the consequences and fix this world?
Yeah, that's it. That's what we need to do. Look, I'll tell you, I'm just baffled by the whole entire deal. But you know, if our generation is the only one who can actually look out there in this world and see that there's a problem, and the next generation coming up is going to be like everything's just business as usual, it doesn't affect you when somebody does something just totally lewd and crude right there in front of you, whether there's children standing around or not, and it's just, oh, yeah, it's okay, everybody just have fun, do whatever you want, you know, the government knows that that's going to offend people. And they know that you're going to get upset about it. And if you push too far, they know you're going to fight back. That's what they want. But you need to be smarter than the average bear. If you're going to fight back, you need to fight back with wisdom, like playing a game of chess. They've been playing a game of chess with you as the pawns all these years. They put you on the battlefield. They're not putting their children on the battlefield. And when they talk about depopulation, they're looking at you when they're talking about it. They're not looking at their own families. These global elitists like doggone Bill Gates saying things like, well, if we do a good job with vaccinations, we can depopulate the world. I'm like, what? What did he just say? Am I the only one who heard him say that? Vaccinations were supposedly there to heal people, to get rid of diseases. But now you're talking about vaccinations that are actually worse than the doggone disease itself. Every year they always try to offer me a doggone flu shot. And I reject it with everything I got because I know that that flu shot's going to make me sick. It does every doggone time I've ever taken a flu shot. I literally got sick. Now, on one hand, I'm trying to say, well, I'm not trying to tell you not to go to the doctor, not to trust the doctor, but on the other hand, I'm saying proceed with caution and ask a whole lot of questions and read the label and the fine print. Because if these people are in charge, you got people like Bill Gates and the government comes in and says, we're here to help? Uh-uh. No, they're not here to help. We're like, right now, there's four of us on this show today. We're like these sheep that's standing out there while the wolves are saying, let's come on inside this cave and have some dinner. And we're saying, wait a second, Hold on, before y'all go in there, he did say let's go have some dinner, but you know that sounds all wonderful and everything. But let's ask the question, like Buzz just mentioned, what's on the menu? You see
I
what I'm saying?
I promise you, I won't bite you, says the snake.
Yeah.
Well, oops, I bit you. Well, what do you expect? I'm a snake.
I don't want everybody to live in fear. I want them to live in wisdom and peace. I want people to start, you know, taking every idea. I mean, right now, while you have access to the internet, you should be downloading every how-to you can get your hands on, printing it out, putting it on special drives, putting them in EMP-proof boxes or whatever, because if they ever try to shut this system down, they've got a backup, and when the internet comes back on, you're going to notice something different that wasn't there before. First off, you're now a number. They know who you are, where you are. There's no more secret, names or anything like that. What's the word I'm looking for? Anonymity? I can't even pronounce it.
Anonymity.
Yeah. So you're a number now. And every bit of these numbers right there, if you get out of line, all they got to do is shut your number down. It's kind of like the mark of the beast that says where, you know, no man will be able to buy, sell, or trade if he ain't got that mark. Well, it's getting so close to you, literally, quite literally, with the microchips that you carry around in your pocket that are attached to your Social Security, your health record, your financial records, your phone, being able to be tracked everywhere you go. And you think that here in America is the place that you want to be? Folks, I'm telling you. The people of America right now are so addicted to technology, it is ridiculous. The day that technology shuts off and it comes back on, the history will be different. The stories will be told in a completely different fashion. And the truth will be nearly impossible to find. Now, if you've got some sort of under the web kind of web out there where somehow or another they saw the writing on the trees and they started storing information, and gradually you'd have these computer wars where they would be feeding information out into the new web, so to speak, the second internet, the one that you're going to get whenever they decide that enough's enough and you talk too much, and these radio shows will be a thing of the past. You won't be able to say the things that you want to say. You see it right now on Facebook. You see it on Twitter. You see it on YouTube. All the social medias out there are coming against anyone with a conservative value or Christian belief or anything like that. And they're shutting them up. They're erasing them from the internet. And so the day that all those voices are silent, those folks out there that say that they want the freedom of speech, they're going to lose it too. All of the rights. They're going to lose every bit of what they think that they're fighting for right now when the system finally gets its teeth completely embedded into the human condition. Am I wrong?
And it'll all be to keep you safe.
Yep. They'll come in with the answers. And it ain't going to be the ones that you want. And when you read your school book, it ain't going to tell the story like it was. It ain't gonna be the same, I guarantee you. They shut this thing down, and then when they bring it back up, it's gonna be a new movie, a new story. Your history is gone. And if it ain't for the wise old men such as myself, the generation that you're listening to right now, telling the tales, when the elders are gone and there is nobody else to tell the story of where we came from, the whole thing will start over again, and maybe one day you'll see that visual of the Matrix being played out where now it's you take the red pill or you take the blue pill and you wake up or you stay asleep and live inside the dream, the Matrix. Folks, it's time for us to roll up out here and go around the table again real quick. I mean, I hate this part, but I love this part. I mean, we always got so much to say, and the talking never needs to stop. We need more shows like this. We need more people out there talking to other people. We need people sharing these podcasts. We need people spreading messages out there, because the information war, it's a two-way street. And so far, you know, we got a chance. We got a chance to put some positive pebbles in the pond. But the day that they shut that off, it ain't going to happen anymore. And they have the only say, they have the only version of the story, and you will take that information and you will do what you're told, or they'll shut your number off, and then you won't, you, just like the book said. I'm sorry. But anyway, lady, you want to go first?
Well, I shall. I want to thank everybody on the panel today, Gregory, Barry, Shaziz. I'm so glad that I was able to join you today. And Barb is in ceremony, so she couldn't join. But, you know, the thing of it is that you said something a little bit earlier about how they're erasing the history. We see this. We see that they're erasing history through the books, through the teachings, through the government. All of this is being erased. Then we can look back and we can say, well, if they're doing this now, what history has been erased that we don't know?
Yep.
Through the past. So, knowing that, and Gregory said it very well, when he said that truth, it has no bearing on what needs to be done right now. It's a moral issue. It is a value of humanity issue. What are we worth? What are we willing to do for each other and ourselves to make change? How much worth do we put in our species? We're all on this earth, each and every one of us. This is it. This is the do-all, be-all of our lives and our children's children to come. This is what we have to work with. There's nothing else coming. This is what we got. So, knowing what we're dealing with today, we've talked about it, we can see, we know the stages, we know what they're doing, what do we do and where do we go from here? It has to be a return to the moral, ethical, value-based system of humanity, of man, woman, and child, to the benefit of our species, not to laws, not to governments, not to religions, but to each other. Because when we fall back to that simplicity of morally, ethically, value-based societies, we don't need laws. We don't need 10,000 laws. We don't need a million laws. We need one law that says do no harm. When we return to that moral place where we see life as it truly is, the gift, and that none of us are any more justified in life than the other. Your life is no less important than mine. My life is no less important than yours. It doesn't, what I make, how much money I have, where I live, who I pray to, has nothing, no bearing whatsoever. It means nothing if we cannot come from that one place. Because that's where we all came from. We're one species. We're not separate. We're one species. We have different cultures. We have different colors. But we are one.
Yep.
One
yep.
species. We're committing genocide against each other. Why are we doing that? Why? Ask yourself, is that the most important thing that I can do in my life? Is create a system that will destroy my kind. Is that the most important thing I can do in my life? Or can I stand with the courage and the commitment to say, I will not allow my species an abhorrent system. We have that choice. Each one of us has that choice, and it takes courage. It's not easy. It's not easy because the system will fight us tooth and nail to exist. But here's the kicker. We are the system. We create the system. We make the system go. We support the system. We feed it. That's our bad.
We're the base of the pyramid, Patty.
Yep. And as soon as we figure that out and we turn toward each other and start having respect for our species and our connection to each other and all life, we're not any different than the ant that lives in the ground. He wants to survive. We want to survive. But I'm not willing to just survive. I want to thrive, and I want each and every living thing to thrive right along with me. And we can do that. We have that ability, and it doesn't take an education. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take status. It only takes the desire to make change.
Yep.
Well, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Well said, Patty. Gregory, you want to speak?
I'll actually show respect to my elders and let you go first, Barry.
What do you mean you're elders? Am I older? I guess I am old. I'm not the oldest one here. I think Shaziz has got me by a few years. Well said, Patty. Really, right now the world is in chaos, and it seems to be getting better by the day. So all in my thoughts today was saying that when chaos erupts in society, please try and keep your feet on the ground. Please have some kind of a spiritual connection in your life. Because if not, you're going to fall into the trap and you're going to be played just like the rest of the human race. And really, our legacy right now is one that is not a good one. We can't look forward into the future right now and say that our children are going to experience the same kind of love, the same kind of planet, the same kind of freedoms that we had growing up. And this planet has given us, this world's given me a great life. And I don't see that coming for my children right now. So at this point, I'll fight tooth and nail till the day I die to stop it. But really, guys, I think that chaos is going to come very shortly in our society. So just be ready and be prepared. Thanks for having me in.
I'm in there with you, brother. So what about you, Gregory?
Well, I'd just like to throw in a little bit of logic. Yeah, it comes from Sun Tzu's Art of War. It's called tactics, and it's what they're using against us. You see, they don't want us to solve the problem of stopping them. How do we solve problems? Well, it's very simple. We are all different. We are all special in the fact that we are different, because once we get together with all our differences, we can solve any problem.
Yep.
So they don't want us to like each other. They don't want us to admire our differences. They don't want us to get along. So please, logically, so that we can stop them, embrace your differences, stop following the Joneses, start getting along with each other, and help us save the world.
There you go.
Thank you, and I'm out.
That was awesome, man. I agree with everything all you said. And look, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You've heard some stories. You've heard frustration. And at times here on the Knights of the Round Table, you probably heard some really intense emotions. We get upset. We're just human. But we love the world, and we love our children. We want a better world for everybody out there. In the mad science realm, we got this thing licked. If we can actually put our things down on the table and people pick those things up and run with them, I tell you what, you know, we'll have everything that you asked for. When you wanted clean, renewable, alternative energy, somebody stepped forward to make it happen. And as far as the rest of the problems out there, there are solutions after solutions. Stephen Gibbons has posted links for alternative energy researchers and research. And look, if you can't find it out there, we'll help you find it. And if you hear this podcast in any parts of these shows that you listen to, cut them up and chop them up. Take what you want. Take all the best of the best and go out there and share it with people. Make copies of it. As many copies as you can. Because like I said, if the internet ever goes down, when it comes back up again, the story is not going to be the same. So we got to protect this knowledge and we got to use it wisely while we have the opportunity to do so. While we have the opportunity to know some freedom and to help bring our youth into a future where they know that they have rights, where they know that they have a hope and all that kind of stuff. We can preach peace, hope, and love, but we also got to get up off the couch and go clean up our communities, help our brothers and sisters to help themselves.
You got a lot that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
There is! There's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
To push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All those who are king, Shazir the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.